Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The Michelin Countdown to Green on IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 2021 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Series and another season of live, free, and uninterrupted coverage on RS2, the home of IMSA Radio. My goodness, how time has flown since that last Michelin post-race tech at Sebring, what seems like a moment or two ago. And we're staring another fabulous IMSA season of racing right in the face. A little bit of a change for this year. We'll go through all of that as we're in the Michelin Countdown to Green. And we're live for the Daytona Motul 100 Pole Award race on RS2. Well, let's bring in our usual suspects and first of all say Happy New Year to Jeremy Shaw. Mr. Shaw, good to have your company again. Are you fit? Are you well? Are you raring to go?
Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever one happens to be. Thank you very much indeed, John. Yes, indeed, I am all raring to go and excited. It's never too late to say Happy New Year in my book, so thank you for that. And I think it should be an interesting day today. And I think it'll set the scene quite nicely for what should be an absolutely cracking 59th annual Rolex 24 at Daytona 1 week from today. From yesterday, I guess, isn't it?
Well, yeah, 6 days, of course, to the Rolex 24. Our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, who will be supplementing Jeremy and I here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, is Shay Adam. We have spoken before already this year, Shay, but I will say Happy New Year to welcome you back to IMSA Radio. And my goodness, the season hasn't even started in terms of competition really yet, and we've got a huge amount of stories to get through in this next half an hour or so.
Yes, Happy New Year, John. Happy New Year, Jeremy, and welcome to 2021. We've got a packed grid, 49 cars taking part in this year's Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, and this qualifying race that's coming up, we expect to see about 49 of the cars. I'm thinking that perhaps 47 will be taking the start, trying to follow up on a couple of cars that are still back in the garage area. But we've got a full field and a lot of horsepower that's going to be out there today.
Got an awful lot to get through in this first Michelin Countdown to Green of the season. There are some format changes. There's some rule changes. We've got 4 out of the 5 starting drivers who will lead their respective classes to the green flag, and we'll try and squeeze that all in before we go live in sound and vision at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Weather not so good in Daytona at the moment. We're keeping our eyes on that as well. Tim Gray is up in London, our executive producer. Once again, he rejoins us. So Happy New Year to Tim. And if he hits the music, we'll get Jeremy to take a deep breath and count us down the field. And you can find out where your favourite is. Remember, we're setting the grid for next weekend's Rolex 24. Take it away, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, John. Yeah, huge field, 49 cars. Should have had 50, but unfortunately one pulled out as a result of one of the drivers, Tim Pappas, testing COVID positive for COVID-19, so that's unfortunate, but still a great field. Let's start at the back then with the 19 GTD cars in 49th position on the grid, having taken pole position yesterday. We will start at the back. We'll hear more from that shortly. That will be Ryan Hardwick in car number 16, that's the right motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R. Row 24 on the grid, long time since we've said that. Car number 28 for Allegra Motorsports, a Mercedes-AMG GT3 car. That's car number 28, it's Daniel Mored. Alongside him, making his debut in the championship, is car number 64. That's Team TGM, another Porsche for Ted Giovannis. Row 23, Brett Curtis in number 63 Scuderia Corsa Ferrari, alongside John Potter in a Magnus with Archangel Acura NSX GT3, that's car number 44. 22nd row of the grid on the outside is Misha Goitberg, car number 19, one of two GRT Grasser Racing Team Lamborghini Huracan GT3s, alongside the Audi R8 LMS GT3 for NTE Sport, a new entrant this year, that's car number 42, started by Andrew Davis. Row 21, Aaron Tielitz in car number 14 for Vassav Sullivan, one of two Lexus RCF GT3s. His teammate, new to the team this weekend, Robert McGuinness in car number 12, will start alongside. 40th position, car number 88, that's the Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche 911 GT3R for Christina Nielsen, alongside Kenny Hubble, car number 75, the Sun Energy One Mercedes AMG. 38th on the grid, Maxwell Root, another debutant this week, in car number 97, the TF Sport Aston Martin Vantage GT3. That team, British team, making its debut in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, alongside the familiar BMW M6 GT3, car number 96, Turner Motorsport, started by Robbie Foley. The 36th position, Rolf Ineichen for GRT Grasser Racing Team, the second of their Lamborghinis, alongside number 9, Zachary Robichon for Pfaff Motorsports, another Porsche 911 GT3R. The lone Aston Martin Vantage GT3 for the Harter Racing Team, car 23, was started by Ian James, alongside him, yet another debutant for Wynwood Racing, another Mercedes AMG GT3 car, number 57, is Russell Ward. Madison Snow, defending Rolex champion, will start car number 1 for Paul Miller Racing. That's a Lamborghini Huracan GT3, second in class in GTD. And on the pole, having inherited the top position after the change of car for car number 16, with Simon Mann from England in car number 21. That's an AF Corsa Ferrari 488 GT3. He will start from the 31st position on pole in GTD. Moving on to the 6 GTLM cars is car number 79 for WeatherTech Racing, a Porsche 911 RSR 19. That's Cooper McNeil, alongside car number 62, the Rissi Competizione Ferrari 488 GTE for Alessandro Pierghidi. Row 2 of the grid for GTLM, well, that's all Corvette Racing. A pair of very familiar now Chevrolet Corvette C8Rs. Car number 3 will be started by Jordan Taylor. Number 4, ahead of him on the grid, for the debutant for the team this weekend from England, is Alexander Sims. The front row of GTLM, well, that's all BMW Team RLL, the pair of BMW M8 GTEs. Had a lot of success at Daytona in recent years. In car number 25 will be Timo Glock, starting second in the class. His fellow countryman from Germany in car number 24 will start from the pole position in GTLM, that is Marco Wittmann. Moving on to LMP3, making their championship debut as part of the IMSA WeatherTech Championship this weekend. Car number 7 for 47 Motorsports of Duquesne DO8, restarted by Mark Kawami. Alongside him, Jim Cox in car number 91. That's a Riley Motorsports Ligier JSP320. One position ahead of him on the grid is his teammate for Riley Motorsports, that is Gar Robinson in car number 74. Alongside Lance Wilsey, car number 33, the Sean Creech Motorsport Ligier JSP320. Two more Ligiers will share row 10 of the grid. Car number 54, a welcome return to the championship for Jonathan Bennett for Core Autosport. And alongside him is Rasmus Lind from Sweden in car number 38 for Performance Tech Motorsports. That's another Ligier JSP320. But on the pole position in LMP3 for this opening race of the season, the winner of yesterday's IMSA Prototype Challenge race for Mueller Motorsports America, a Duquesne DO8 chassis, car number 6, is Moritz Kranz. Moving on now to LMP2, a tremendous field of LMP2 cars this weekend. Sali Jolic will make his debut in car number 51, that's the RWR Eurasia Ligier LMP2 car. And then it's a Phalanx Orica LMP2 07s. On the 16th position on the grid for Tower Motorsports in car number 8 is John Ferrano. Alongside him, Dwight Merriman in car number 18 for Era Motorsports. The pair of Dragon Speed USA LLC Oricas will share row 7 of the grid. Car number 81, Rob Hodas. Alongside him, Eric Lux in car number 82. And the 12th position is Frits van Eerd from Racing Team Netherlands, another Orica in car number 29, alongside Stephen Thomas, an excellent qualifying run for him in car number 11. That's a new team, Win Autosport, another Orica LMP2-07 car. That's the X-Cool racing car from Europe. Third position on the grid in LMP2, 10th overall, Roberto Lacorte for Cetular Racing in a Dallara LMP2 car. And then effectively the front row, although in the 9th and 8th positions on the grid overall, is car number 20. That's Dennis Anderson, the high-class racing Orica. And on the pole position, a tremendous run in car number 52 for PR1 Matheson Motorsports. The Orica, its familiar Orica LMP 207, is Ben Keating. There'll be 7 DPI cars in this field, starting last of them will be car number 10. That's Philip Albuquerque in the Konica Minolta Acura ARX 05. That car qualified 5th but lost its qualifying time as a result of a rear wing failing technical inspection. Also falling to almost to the back of the class is what should have been the pole sitter. That's Felipe Nasser in car number 31 for Whelan Engineering Racing, the Cadillac DPI. That car's time disallowed because it was underweight in after qualifying. In the 5th position on the grid, therefore, is the 7-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson in car number 48, the Ali Cadillac Racing Cadillac DPI. And row 2 on the outside, Dane Cameron, car number 60, the Meyer Shank Racing with Kerb Agajanian Acura DPI, alongside making its return to the championship this season, Chip Ganassi Racing, another Cadillac, car number 01 for Kevin Magnussen. And on to the front row of the grid, in 2nd position from France for Mustang Sampling, JDC Motorsports, another Cadillac, that's car number 5 for Tristan Vautier. And on the pole position for today's pole position qualifying race, in car number 55 for Mazda Motorsports, the Mazda RT24P from England, is Oliver Jarvis.
And we'll be speaking to Ollie in a little while about the format of the Raw, the Rolex, and the chances for the RT24, the championship challenge for him and for Harry Tinknell. Thank you, Jeremy Shaw. Take a breather. Still to come, our Porsche keys to the race. Shea Adam will give us a little bit of an idea, and we'll do this during the race as well, of some of the changes in the regulations. But let's hear from some of the names that you heard there. And let's start in LMP3, because Jeremy was talking about LMP3 there, and some of you might be going, no, hang on a second. LMP3, that has its own race within IMSA. They raced yesterday. Well, you'd be absolutely right to say that. But for 2021, LMP3 now also in the big show. And Murray Krantz's effort to get the fastest time even more impressive. As you heard from Jeremy, he just won that LMP3 race before he went and qualified.
Yes, it was a little bit hectic after my stint. I just got the info that I have to drive the qualifying as well. So, after the celebration, I had to pick up my stuff and run around to be back in the car in time. And racing here and actually having a pole in the Inter Vuelletech Sports Cup Championship is kind of a dream come true, if I may say so, because I just always see it on TV, and now I'm actually racing here, so that's just awesome.
So Mike Kratz then will start in LMP3 for the first ever pole position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Do you know, we would all love, wouldn't we, to be out there racing, whatever the conditions, whatever the racetrack, but especially at the Rolex 24. For some people, driving one car just isn't enough. Ben Keating is pulling double duty again.
This is my second time to be in the LMP2 at this track, actually. This is my second pole. So I did it last year as well. This year was quite different in that it was raining out there and didn't really know quite what the track conditions were going to do. Track temp was cold. The wet track, weren't sure how the curbs, if the curbs were going to be wet or not. And it takes a while to get heat into those tires in the prototype cars. And so I was expecting it to be really sketchy, and I was delighted when we got out there, and we had a lot of grip. It felt really good in the car. Bobby and Tim, PR1, really do a great job of setting the car up. It's really nice to have a car that's easy to drive. I was having a really good time. The more and more I went around the track, the more confidence I gained in the grip, I was significantly faster than I have been all weekend, just because of how much confidence I had in the car. And this is my first experience with Tom Farrier and TF Sport as being on their team. I raced against them all season in WEC in GTAM, I'm excited to be with them because I know how fierce competitors they are. Because this is my fun, this is my recreation, I place a really high priority on working with great people and having a good time, as well as being competitive. And that's what I've experienced with Bill Riley for the last 6 years, and that's what I'm experiencing here again with Tom at TF Sport. For me, I'm expecting the Aston to be similar to the Viper that I ran for 3 years early on, and the AMG that I've been in for the last 4 years, of being a GT3 car with a front engine, there are a lot of similarities. I've been able to pick it up really quickly. We'll see. It's been a long time. I've been concentrating on the LMP2 car to get ready for qualifying. Tonight, I get to get back in the Aston Martin and see how easy it will be to transition between the two. I don't think it has been different through the years. I think I've done it each of the last 5 years, and it's been different each year. But this year seems similar to last year. Last year I was in an LMP2 and the AMG in GT Daytona. This year I'm in the B2 along with the Aston Martin in GT Daytona. Same minimum drive time of 4.5 hours in each car. I'm hoping it goes about the same as it did last year. I think it should be about the same. There are always lots of different variables that can be thrown into that. Who knows what the weather looks like or how each one of our cars are running. But if everything goes according to my plan, I expect to be done with all of my 9.5 hours or so within the first 18 hours of the race. I think the fastest I could do it would be about 16 hours, but I don't want to put that on me. I'm just trying to be done with my drive time in both cars and leave 6 hours for my teammates to finish the race. And we'll see. I'm not expecting to get any sleep until Sunday morning. I've been doing a lot of really long endurance workouts, having my heart rate really high, just to make sure that I have the endurance to do that much driving within the first 18 hours. So hopefully it's all okay. I expect it to be like last year.
Oh, lucky, lucky man. I have nothing but envy for Ben Keating. And thank you very much to our colleagues at IMSA Media for making those interviews from Daytona available, not just to us, but to the rest of the media as well. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, our new website for 2021 is imsaradio.com. All things IMSA in audio and video are there, and we'll join our colleagues on the video side of things in a little over 10 minutes, which means we've very quickly got to get to one of the big stories of the weekend. Wright Motorsports, Ryan Hardwick. It was all going so well, and then it wasn't. I spoke to him a little while ago on the telephone from Daytona and asked him what had gone wrong.
I had completed my night laps, and, you know, things can change in just a moment's notice. You know, I was coming in. There was a red flag for some other incident on track, and I was just coming into the pit lane from, you know, off the speedway, and there were several cars in front of me kind of checked up a little too soon, but nothing like crazy alarming. And what was kind of crazy about the whole deal is obviously that it's pretty fundamental here that the double yellow lines, you know, that mark the inside of the track off the speedway, they're always super slick. You have to be very careful on those, especially in the rain. I had already crossed those. I was in the pit lane deceleration lane, decelerating, and those cars in front of me checked up a little bit too soon. I went to a little extra brake pressure with my two left tires on the single white stripe line on the left, and whap, immediately just snapped the car sideways, or completely around sideways. And in order not to hit the other cars in front of me, it countersteered and, you know, went up on the speedway, but then I also met the wall on the speedway.
Before that, Ryan, everything had been going very well indeed.
Gosh, yeah. Our guys had been prepping so hard with both this new car and also our GT4. And I think our idea of me getting the extra track time with the GT4 was really paying off. I mean, right off the bat, I was just really in a rhythm. I'd been at the top of the time charts in the GT4 series with a brand new car I'd never even driven before. Been running consistently in the top four or five cars in that class. And also in GTD, I mean, compared to the silver drivers, I was right. We knew all the practice sessions. I mean, I was right in there with some of the best silver drivers, best driving I'd ever done. And then obviously in qualifying, I mean, I put together, it was probably the best lap I've ever done. I mean, it was no mistakes and nice and smooth. And that was pole position. I actually did two laps that, you know, were the quickest, you know. And man, to have that feeling of, hey, man, you did, you know, P1, you know, and this series with this deep a field and that many great drivers, that was like one of the better feelings I'd ever had, one of the best things that's ever come over the radio. Then a couple hours later, sitting on the track, stalled with the car crash, you know.
Exactly a year ago, Black Swan bought a car from Wright, and this is the car that you guys have now got back. How much work has had to go into making that car legal for you guys to take the start of the 100?
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, exactly what you said. There's a bit of crazy how things happen, go around, come around. You know, John did a great job to help Tim Pappas and the Black Swan team when they were in a real pinch. Last year, it was right on the race weekend. It wasn't at the Roar. I mean, they were in a real pinch. And this year, you know, Tim was able to return the favor. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, he and his team weren't able to race, but you know, that really, really helped us because there's not any other of these Porsches in the U.S. right now. So, I mean, our guys have really worked their butts off, you know, all night long and all this morning to get it ready, mainly just getting we're running our engine that we've had this whole week that's ran strong. We're running our handling package. So they were mainly just swapping a lot of parts on Tim's car over to our stuff. Yeah, we were just real fortunate. Tim was gracious enough to allow us to take possession of the car, and it all seemed to work out as best as it could in such a negative situation.
Those crew guys, I'm sure you want to pay them back in the best way possible.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, our head's going to be down. We know this is just qualifying. There's a long way to go in this race, but Patrick and I both are going to do the best we can with a new car. This is going to be a bit of a shakedown for us as well, just making sure all the system checks and everything in this car are good, and our team will continue to tweak on it and massage it over the week. And I have no doubt in my mind that come race day next week, I mean, we're going to have a car that's every bit as capable of winning the race as what we had previously. And we're going to be a front runner. We like to believe that we're a favorite to win this race, coming off of our performance at Sebring and as well as what all four of the drivers shown here this week. We think we have as good a shot as anyone to win this race, and that's still what our plan to do.
Great story already in race week, the race week before the Rolex 24. We wish the best to Wright Motorsports, to Ryan, and also thank you very much to Tim Pappas and Black Swan for paying it back. Do you know, it works. What goes around really does come around in racing. At IMSA Radio, it's the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre and our Michelin counts down to green. So what about the car that will lead the field to the green flag for the 100-minute contest to come? Well, that will be a Mazda, and it'll be driven by Ollie Jarvis, the man from the UK, for the third consecutive year starting at the front of a field at the Daytona Circuit. I spoke to him just as the rain was starting to fall at Daytona on the telephone a little while ago, and asked him if he'd got his head around this brand new format.
To be honest, I haven't yet. It's definitely strange. We were talking about that this morning. You know, we've qualified pole for the qualifying race, effectively. And, you know, I'm not sure how much prestige it now carries. I guess, you know, the race today is really setting the grid for the 24 hours. So, you know, it's going to take some getting used to. I must admit, I did like the old qualifying, you know, where you'd arrive at the race weekend and all eyes are on you sort of Friday with that qualifying session. So this is very different. You know, I understand the reasons for doing it, but yeah, it's certainly going to take some getting used to.
How hard do you push in the race, you and Harry? It's 6 days away to the big race and the cars have got to be back on track, what, Thursday? So you can't afford any mistakes here at all?
Yeah, no, we're always pushing. I mean, that's one thing you can say about the Mazda team. We're always pushing, but I think there's also got to be that little bit of, you know, caution in terms of in the traffic and, you know, if conditions do turn changeable, as they could well, looking at the sky right now. But you don't want to be damaging the car, that's for sure. With such short time before the 24-hour race, the team don't want to see any damage. We can't afford to have any mistakes like that. So certainly be erring a little bit on the side of caution, but we're also going to go out and race hard.
How much does it mean to be at the front of the field here? I mean, we talk about that in a 24-hour race. What about in a 100-minute race?
It's nice because it allows you to hopefully stay out of trouble in turn one. You know, the concern with being back in the pack is that you're kind of at the mercy of everybody else. Whereas starting off pole, you know, I can hopefully control the start and when we go and give myself a little bit of room. But, you know, as we always discuss, where you start for a 24-hour race has no bearing on where you finish. So, you know, the focus will be just to try and keep the car in one piece and have a strong result and carry that forward, you know, into the race next weekend.
Does it change the mindset for the Rolex 24 in particular? There's just a Mazda this year.
You know, I haven't really noticed a difference, to be honest, because, you know, the way we worked last year was that, you know, we worked very well together and we were both pushing for the same goal. It is different having one car. I guess it's maybe, you know, a little bit more focus on the sole car. But at the same time, you know, we certainly miss not having two. You know, you lack the feedback from two cars, from two different sets of drivers. You know, and I think in the race that will also be a difference. You know, you lack the other comments and feedback. And if it's changeable conditions, you haven't got two cars to play with. So we're still getting used to that. But at the moment, it's been working really well.
Many changes on the car between what seems like yesterday when we finished Sebring and coming in to the Raw and the Raw next week.
No, we did a 2-day test in Sebring, which was really, you know, just to try a few bits, but no major updates on the car. It's more just set up stuff and continuing where we left off from last year. You know, we're continuing improving and developing the setup of the car and trying to make strides in that area. And this has just been a continuation of that.
As far as the rest of the season's concerned, you guys have been so close for so many years. Competition's not getting any easier, Ollie.
Yeah, no, the competition's definitely not getting easier. I mean, you know, we say it every year and it's a bit of a cliche, but we want to go for the championship. Certainly for me, I think it's a big year. You know, we've got a real chance of winning it as we have the past years. But, you know, this year we need a few things to go right. You know, I think we, certainly on the 77, we probably lost 3 or 4 race wins last year due to quite unfortunate circumstances or issues. This year, we just need that little bit of luck to be on our side. I mean, I'm not one that believes in luck, but you definitely need not have the bad luck, shall we say. And I think we've got the package, the team, the driver lineup. So we've just got to stay out of trouble. But, you know, we can't underestimate the competition. It really is a strong field.
Thanks for joining us on the Michelin Countdown to Green here on IMSA Radio, Ollie. Race well, race safely.
Thank you very much.
Great. And thank you to all the drivers who, so close to such a big event, were kind enough to give us some of their time. We'll give you the Porsche keys to the race once we've joined up with our TV colleagues. That will be happening very shortly. If you're listening now on RS2 IMSA Radio, get back to imsaradio.com. Top left-hand side, live video. If you're outside the USA, it's full, live, free, and uninterrupted. IMSA Season 2021 starts next.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.